action starts.
Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate's small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club,
where you will experience exceptional every day.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Treat your love to something extra special this Valentine's Day. Hi, I'm Allie Evers with Boheme Salon & Spa, Reading's premier Aveda Concept Salon & Spa. What says I love you more than the gift of relaxation? Give the perfect gift this Valentine's Day that shows you care. Relax, unwind, and pamper yourself and a loved one with the gift of a soothing couples massage. You and a loved one can escape the cares of the day and indulge and share in a moment of intimate relaxation. Our special Valentine's couples massage package includes champagne, chocolate, and a one-hour couples massage in a wonderfully relaxing environment. At Boheme Salon & Spa, we offer a complete line of Aveda products and signature services, and gift cards are always available. Give the experience of love this Valentine's. Boheme Salon & Spa, 961 Dana Drive, or our new location at 1740 Eureka Way in Reading, located inside the Wellgate Sports Club. Experience how beautiful natural can be at Boheme Salon & Spa.
It's that time of year again for the Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is the gun show of the year, jam-packed with handguns, shotguns, rifles, ammunition, and, of course, reloading supplies. The Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
This is something we call angelic organics.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I would like to invite you to stay with me. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, all done with no manipulation, no hidden agendas. This is not an infomercial. We are not trying to sell you anything. We are not trying to coerce you into doing something. We're not asking you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. This show is simply about giving you enough information, information that will help you verify and hopefully identify the plan of God for your life. If you're able to do that, you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But my job as host of this show is to get it accurate. Not give you some human speculation, useless human speculation. Give you accurate information. Information from the Bible, short biblical principles, biblical concepts that will help you verify God's plan for your life so you can adjust to that. If you want, if you would like, If you listen to this show, you're going to find we're a little different. We don't make appeals for money. We're not here trying to hustle funds. We're here to make appeals for truth, to give you truth, to encourage you to grow, to live in Christ a long life. You know, you never graduate from the Christian life until you go to heaven and get the resurrection body. But if you listen to this show, and this is show number 4 in your city, you will see that we have a unique format of teaching the Word of God. We have several books that we've written that are always free if you'd like to have them. What we're offering today is the book we're teaching in regards to the Flotline, F-L-O-T, the name of the show. It entails the 10 unique problem-solving devices. And if you'd like to have the book called Christian Problem Solving, it will outline all 10 of those problem-solving devices for you. Or you can simply listen to the radio show and we'll go through them. But that book is available free of charge. All you have to do is write to us, Rick Hughes Ministries, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. That's Rick Hughes Ministries, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or you can go to the internet to rickhughesministries.org, O-R-G, and you can email us there with your request. Either way, we will send it to you free of charge and never send you anything else unless you request it. We don't build a mailing list. We're not trying to hustle funds. So as I said, it's all free, never a charge. If God's in it, God pays for it. I learned that a long time ago from my very own pastor. Don't hustle money. If God's in it, God will pay for it. So if someone has to hustle money and try to beat the bushes to get up money, then you can pretty well bet that that's man's idea and not God's idea. Now today we're going to study the most phenomenal thing in the Christian life. You know, I've told you that the Christian life is a supernatural life requiring a supernatural power. And I promised you last week, if you come back, that I would introduce you to the term rebound. Rebound. If you don't understand this, if you don't operate like this, you may not call it the same thing, but if you don't do what I'm about to tell you, you cannot, you will not ever live the Christian life effectively unless you understand this simple principle. Remember protocol, the first show that we did, we introduced you to that word protocol, and protocol says the right thing has to be done in the right way. Is it ever wrong to go to church? No. Is there a right way to go to church and a wrong way to go to church? Yes. Is it ever wrong to pray? No. Is there a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray? Yes. See, if you don't follow protocol, even though you may be doing the right things, you will be doing them in the wrong way. And all of that shows up at the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians 3, where you will see the judgment seat of Christ described as a great fire, and all of our production goes into the fire. Some of it is wood, hay, and stubble, and some of it is gold, silver, and precious stones. The gold and the silver and the precious stones are the things you did the right way, and they glorified God. The wood, the hay, and the stubble are the same things that you did, but you did them the wrong way, and they're energy of the flesh. In the Christian life, you can operate two ways. You can operate under the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit, or you can operate under the energy and the power of the flesh. Operating under the power of the flesh simply means this, that you have an old sin nature just like I do. I got it from Adam and you got it from Adam. It has an area of weakness and it has an area of strength. The area of weakness are your sin patterns. The area of strength, that's your good patterns. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees that our Lord Jesus Christ faced in his lifetime had that area of strength from the old sin nature. They were religious do-gooders. They were the religious police. And they practiced the law of Moses, they thought, to the full extent. There's one situation in Luke where an attorney examines the Lord Jesus Christ and asks him a question about what he must do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord said, well, what do you think? That's great. Always ask her a question with a question. And he answered with the Shema, part of the Shema, part of what is out of Deuteronomy, what the Jews quote every Sunday, Shema Israel. And so he got hung up on loving his neighbor, though. He asked the Lord, who is my neighbor? You see, those Jews hated those Samaritans. They didn't want to consider them to be the neighbors. And they hated the Gentiles, the Goy. They didn't want to consider them to be the neighbors. And yet the Bible they lived by said, you got to love your neighbor. So here's a question. I'm going to ask you this question. If your neighbor is a jerk, how can you love him? And how can you live the Christian life if you have a jerk for a neighbor that makes you so mad because he won't cut his grass or he won't pick up his papers or he's always looking over the fence and butting his nose into your business? When you have a W-O-D, a W-O-J for a neighbor, W-O-J, what's a W-O-J? A weird, obnoxious jerk. If you got one of those for a neighbor and you're a Christian, you better learn how to handle that person in Christ, because you're supposed to love him. Did you know that? Yeah. Oh, yes. Wow. What if it's a family member? What if it's a aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a brother or a sister that you can't stand? They're so obnoxious. Do I have to love them? And the answer is yes. You can't do it in the energy of the flesh. That's why rebound is so critical. All right? So let's go to this. You are a Christian. I'm going to assume that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to assume that you want to live the Christian life. So I want you to tell me, in your own words, how to be a good Christian. I'm listening. What? Tell me how to be a good Christian. Oh, if I go to church, that's going to make me a good Christian. If I read my Bible, that'll make me a good Christian. If I pray, that'll make me a good Christian. Those are things that good Christians do, yes, but how do I become a good Christian? See, the mechanics is what I'm pushing at here. Mechanically, how does this work? I remember years ago when I first went into the ministry that I was speaking in a church in Mississippi. And a man came forward and he wanted to rededicate his life to Christ. And I said, that's great. So glad you came to rededicate your life to Christ. And do you know what he had the gall to ask me? How do I do it? And I said, how do you do what? He said, how do I rededicate my life to Christ? And I said, well, 1, 2, 3, rededicate me. There you go. You got it. He said, I tried that. It didn't work. I went back and did the same things again. And I wanted to rededicate my life to Christ. And I keep doing the same things over and over and over again. Paul wrote about it and he said, I don't understand myself at all. For that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I hate, I keep on doing in Romans 7. So what's the deal here? The protocol plan of God is essential that you understand it. God did not leave you without a way out. And that way out is God the Holy Spirit. He has been sent by the Father, by means of the Lord Jesus Christ, to empower you, guide you, lead you, and help you execute the Christian life. And you cannot do it on your own. And He will take God's Word. The Holy Spirit will take God's Word and cause you to learn it, remember it, use it, relate to it, and live by it every day of your life. If you don't do that, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to do that, you are not living the Christian life. And you can live ritual without reality. I mean, people do that every Sunday. They go to church. They're the nod to God crowd. Hello, God. Goodbye, God. See you next Sunday, God. And they think they're really doing something. And they're not. They're not doing anything but going through the motion. It's called ritual without reality. and is meaningless. The Christian life is not a ritual. It's a way of living. There are rituals we do, such as taking communion, but even that, if you don't understand what you're doing, then you are just doing something that's meaningless. If it's just a wafer and a drink, and you don't understand the body of Christ and the blood of Christ and what you're actually supposed to be remembering here, then what are you doing? You're just going through the ritual. And so I want to teach you, in these unique problem-solving devices, the mechanics of how you live the Christian life and the mechanics of how you can grow to glorify God to the maximum. I'm sure many of your churches are doing the same thing, but maybe you're not listening, maybe you're not getting it, and maybe they're not doing it. I know many large churches that I visit have turned out to be cruise ships, you know, like the good ship Lollipop, and the pastor he's like in charge of the cruise ship to make sure that the single people have a happy cruise, and the married people have a happy cruise, and the divorced people have a happy cruise, and the elderly people have a happy cruise, and the youth have a happy cruise, and my goodness. I mean, if a pastor stands in the pulpit to teach God's Word on a Sunday morning in many of the traditional churches I've been in, he'll be lucky to get 20 minutes. Because the other time is taken up by music and announcements and whatever. And so if you go to church hoping to learn something, and you get 20 minutes on Sunday morning, and assuming you're going to get a whole 30 minutes on Sunday night, you got 50 minutes of biblical instruction. Now, 50 minutes is not even one TV show. And 50 minutes a week of biblical instruction, you're never going to get out of the first grade. You will never get out of the first grade. When the Bible says you're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18, it clarifies itself when it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are you going to feel if you show up in heaven someday and God the Father looks at you and says, well, you blew that, didn't you? You had all the assets. You had the ability. You had everything. You would not take time to learn it. You were too busy executing, running around, doing your thing. Too busy. And your pastor didn't teach it. Listen, I believe, and this is a radical statement, I believe we need to study God's Word every day. And I believe that God has qualified, gifted, and equipped men with the gift of pastor-teacher. And their job is to study it and teach it to you. If that's not true, then why did he even do that in Ephesians 4? Why would he give a person that gift if that wasn't their job? Their job is to study and teach. They're called pastor-teacher. Poimen kai didaskalos in the Greek New Testament. And without sitting under a qualified pastor, without learning God's Word consistently, you will fumble around in the Christian life at best. You will buy books from various authors who sell their ideas when God doesn't authorize the selling of anything. But you'll buy the book and you'll read it and you'll try to figure it out on your own. That's not what it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to figure it out on your own. God has given you a pastor. His job is to teach it. His job is to learn it, study it, grow, and feed you. You're the sheep. He's the shepherd. And so in all of these radio shows, remember this, I'm not a pastor. I'm simply an evangelist. And I'm telling you how you are to grow. Your job is to find that pastor, get under that pastor, and learn God's Word consistently. And it doesn't make any difference what his personality is. He doesn't have to be a great speaker. He doesn't have to be a great glad hander. He just has to be accurate. Accurate. So that when you go to church and you sit down and you open your Bible, you hear something you need to learn and you hear it accurately. And then you can apply it. Jesus said in Luke 11:27 and 28, Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. Hear it and keep it. All momentum in the Christian life is hearing and keeping God's word. If you don't hear it, you can't keep it. And therefore, the Bible says faith comes through hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you don't hear it, you can't keep it. And if you do hear it, you still have a choice to make. Will you or will you not? Now, what I'm about to tell you is going to demand you make a choice. You will sin. You will fail. You may even shock yourself. You may do some things you didn't think you were capable of doing. It doesn't mean that God has left you. It doesn't mean God has abandoned you. What it means when you sin is you have quenched and you have grieved God the Holy Spirit. And you have become carnal. You have moved into the area of the energy of the flesh. You're trying to please God with your good works and your good deeds, such as going to church, tithing, singing in the choir, etc. But if you have known sin in your life, that won't work. For example, if the pastor calls on Deacon A to have a prayer, and Deacon B sits over there in the pew, and Deacon A hates Deacon B because Deacon B shafted him in a business deal, and Deacon A gets up there to pray, and he hasn't forgiven Deacon B for what he did, that's a violation of protocol. That prayer's not going to go any higher than the ceiling. How do I know that? The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's how I know that. So here he is. He's offering this great, eloquent, spiritually sounding prayer. But he has sin in his life. He's vindictive. He is hateful. He's bitter towards that man that stole his money. He hasn't forgiven him. No, that prayer will not be answered. Because he did it in the energy of the flesh. You can live in the energy of the flesh. And you may never know the difference. But unless you live in the power of God the Holy Spirit, you are not living the Christian life. So let's get this one straight. When you sin, and you will, you need to recover from it quickly. Don't wait until you go to bed at night. Don't wait until the next day. When you know you sinned, admit it to God, and he will be faithful and just to forgive you. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. That's the secret to the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit. When you rebound or confess the sin, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Rebound is a term that describes the confession of a known sin. And most people understand this. They don't realize that it's rebound and that places us under the filling of the Spirit, but it is. See, remember when you got saved, when you became a Christian, you were indwelled by God the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:3 and 1 Corinthians 6:19. And remember this, you were commanded to be controlled by God the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16, Ephesians 5:18. But the Bible says that you can grieve and quench the Spirit when you sin. Sin quenches his power. What does his power do? His power helps you execute the Christian life, execute the protocol plan of God. And if his power is shut off, you can't do it. You can go through the motion, but it's just going to be wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. You must rebound and recover from your sin and get back in fellowship with God. And there, let the Holy Spirit take control of your life once again. So let's put it together. First, you accept Christ as your Savior, and you move into the royal family of God. Secondly, God's Holy Spirit indwells you and helps you follow God's protocol plan. Third, you're prone to sin. And when you do, you quench the Holy Spirit. Fourth, God knew it was going to happen. I mean, this didn't catch God by surprise. So he made a provision for your sin. He gave you rebound. 1 John 1:9. So fifth, when you sin, and when you rebound that sin or confess that sin, then you're placed back into fellowship with God, and you're now free to keep following his plan for your life. And seventh, the whole process may have to be repeated several times every day. But if you do not use rebound, you will not grow spiritually, and you will not glorify God with your life by operating under the energy of the flesh. So if you're a Christian and you know you've sinned, you're aware of that, and you don't rebound, what happens? Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, those whom God loves, he disciplines. And so, under the law of volitional responsibility, unto whom much is given, much is expected. Listen, you can bring discipline into your life from God the Father by failing to rebound. He may take you to the woodshed and give you that attitude adjustment, and you may wonder, why are these things happening to me? Because he is getting your attention. He holds us responsible for every decision that we make. And when we sin, we must take the responsibility for the sin, and sometimes it even includes accepting the discipline that goes with it. Rebound. If you don't rebound, it results in you continuing to sin because you allowed your sin nature to control you. That's what it boils down to. So remember me telling you there are two of those inside of you. There's the old man inside you, the old sin nature. And there's the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's the new you. And there's always a battle. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. The Bible says these are contrary one to the other. So, which one are you going to let control your life? So when you, for example, someone comes up and says, what do you think about Sister So-and-so? And you say, well, I can tell you, in my opinion, she's no good. That's a sin. You judged her. You maligned her. You gossiped. You sinned. It's so easy to do. It's easy to do on the interstate, especially around your city where you live, the way people drive, right? Like idiots. And so they cut you off and they signal things from their car window at you, and you can lose your temper. I know I get that same way. And you can sin sitting in the driver's seat so easy because that idiot in front of you won't go when the light changes and you're in a hurry. So you sit down on the horn trying to get him to go on. See, people get irate. And you can do the same thing as a Christian. You have a sin nature. You can get irate also. If you go to God and admit the sin, that's not to guarantee you won't do it again. But if we confess, if is a conditional verb, if, maybe, maybe yes, maybe not. If we confess, that word in the Greek New Testament is critical. It means to say the same. So if we say the same, if we tell God what we did, I just lied, I just lusted, I just was full of hate, I have been bitter, I have been angry, I have been worrying. Tell him what's going on. And when you admit the sin to God, listen to the verse. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. There may even be sins you don't remember. When you name the ones you remember, God even cleanses you from the ones you don't remember. So remember this. Rebound when you sin. That's how you live the Spirit-filled life. It's not something that happens one day under the full moon with the stars out, and you start vibrating and getting a weird feeling and smoke blows out of your ears. That is not the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit occurs the moment you believe in Christ. You're indwelled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. But as soon as you sin, then you quench the Spirit. and you grieve the spirit. And as soon as you rebound, you recover the filling of the spirit and you resume your spiritual life. There have been times in my life I've had to rebound 10 times a day, maybe more. But without rebound, I cannot live the Christian life. Without confessing my known sin to God, I cannot execute the Christian life. And neither can you. So the first thing is to admit your sin. The second, maybe we better identify the sin first. Was it a sin of the tongue? Was it a mental attitude sin? Or was it something overt, something you did? You admit the sin to God immediately. Don't wait until you go to bed. Do it immediately. Because as soon as you sin, you quench the spirit. And as soon as you confess the sin, you're filled with the spirit. That's rebound. And that's how simple it is. That's the power to sustain you as you live the Christian life. Got a lot more to say about it, and I hope you've been listening. I hope you're learning. Till next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Welcome. Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few moments, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. That's right, The Flatline, F-L-O-T. That's the name of the show, Flat, F-L-O-T. This show is about 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and it's all done with no manipulation because we don't have hidden agendas. No one's trying to get you to join anything. We're not asking you for any money. We're not trying to sell you anything or hustle. We're just trying to give you accurate information. Information that can be verified and identified from the scriptures as the Word of God. And if we can do that, then you can orient and adjust at your leisure. That's up to you. But my job is to get it accurate and give it to you accurately so that you at least know what your choices are. We have a saying here on The Flatline, bad decisions limit future options. Bad decisions limit future options. And if you make enough bad decisions, you wind up with no options left. So hopefully the information that I give you from the Scripture, from the Word of God, will help you understand your choices in life and understand how you can make the best decisions that will help you as you move through life. And it's all from the Bible, from the Word of God. Again, this is not some human viewpoint, not some sort of human speculation. This is accurate information from the Bible. We call our show The Flatline, and you may wonder why. It is a military term, FLOT, F-L-O-T. That stands for Forward Line of Troops. And what we're doing is making a military analogy. We're using this term to show how the Christian life functions and how it works. This is not unusual. The Bible does it in many cases where, for example, the Apostle Paul talks about putting on the armor of God, so that you can stand against the strategy of Satan. You remember that in Ephesians 6. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Remember? Where he compared the Christian life to a Roman soldier and the paraphernalia that he wore into combat. So we are in combat. We are in an invisible war, a spiritual war. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we must be prepared. Thus, the information that I'm going to give you pertains to 10 unique problem-solving devices. These 10 unique problem-solving devices are nothing new. This is not some recent discovery. We're not trying to sell you a book about this. We do have a book about it, and it's free. Absolutely, you can have it, but this is old-time Bible doctrine. This has been around ever since the Word of God was recorded and made available to each of us. These 10 unique problem-solving devices are essentially what power the Christian life. You see, the Christian life is essentially a supernatural life, and it requires a supernatural power to live it. Now, a lot of people that are not Christians are nice people, kind, giving people, just like Christians can be. But that is not the Christian life. The Christian life is the life that Jesus Christ himself verified and identified and left for us. It is the life that he lived while he was here. He was empowered in an unbelievable way by means of God the Holy Spirit and by means of his Father's Word. And as a human, when our Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, he demonstrated to the disciples that in his absence, they could live equally as he lived if they deployed the same tactics, if they used the same advantages. Therefore, for example, we have this passage in John chapter 16. Nevertheless, Jesus told the disciples, I tell you the truth. It is for your advantage that I leave you, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter, we know that to be the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ went on to say, of sin, because they believe not in me. Essentially, that's the sin that sends anyone to hell. To reject Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believes not, the wrath of God abides on him already. So it's not drinking, it's not gambling, it's not fornicating. That's not what sends people to hell. What sends people to hell is they reject the forgiveness that God offered through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When they reject that, they fail to believe in him. They don't believe that he is the Savior, the Son of God. The verse goes on to say in verse 10 of John 16, of righteousness, this is the Holy Spirit's job, because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world, a.k.a. the devil or Satan, is judged already. So he's already been evaluated. He's already been judged. He's already sentenced to the lake of fire. And I assure you, he does not want to go there. And he will use you, me, or anyone else to stop that from ever happening as he seeks to vindicate his name and to relieve himself of the judgment that God has placed upon him. And so here's our Lord Jesus Christ talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring them to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you. Again, Jesus spoke of the Comforter. In our first radio show, we talked about the most essential doctrine that anyone could ever understand. Any Christian that doesn't understand this doctrine will never effectively live the Christian life. We call that doctrine rebound. Rebound means we confess our sin to God. When a Christian bounces out of fellowship with God, he grieves the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he quenches the Holy Spirit. But he also has the opportunity to rebound. rebound, as taught in 1 John 1:9, says if we confess our sin, then He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. So rebound is me going to God and admitting my sin. We talked about that on our last radio show. What rebound does, essentially, is guarantees me that I'm back under control of God the Holy Spirit. You see, as a Christian, I can live my life one of two ways. I can live my life under the power of the flesh, or I can live my life under the filling of the Holy Spirit. If I live my life under the power of the flesh, I will not be able to tap into my divine resources. I will not be able to utilize the power that God made available to me. But if I live it under the filling of the Holy Spirit, then indeed I shall be able to use all of the resources that I have. Essentially, no one can worship God effectively without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully to John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and thus the need for the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is clear about the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 11, your Word have I hid in my heart, so I might not sin against you. If you take the Word of God and you take the Holy Spirit, those are your two operational assets. Those are the two things that you need to grow in grace and to glorify God to the maximum. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 is the warning, do not quench the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 is the warning, do not grieve the Spirit. And thus we see that as a Christian, the only way that I can effectively live the Christian life is under the maneuverability, under the filling, under the control of God the Holy Spirit. If I try to live it any other way, it's not going to work. Thus, we must understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. We must understand what it means to be a Spirit-filled Christian. So let me say this carefully. The moment you're saved, God the Holy Spirit indwells you. Ephesians 1:12 and 13 says you are sealed by means of the Holy Spirit until the day of evaluation, until the day that Jesus Christ comes to get you back. So He sealed you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And the Holy Spirit's job is also to fill you. To fill you. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Bible says you're spiritual. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you're carnal. What keeps me from being filled with the Holy Spirit? Sin in my life keeps me from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when I sin, I'm out of fellowship with God. And the second problem-solving device will not work. Rebound is the first problem-solving device, and it guarantees the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's how I handle the problem of my sin. And then the filling of the Holy Spirit is the second problem-solving device, and it's how I live the Christian life in the power of God the Holy Spirit, not in the energy of the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, we have been given the Spirit of God so that we may know the things that God has provided for us and we may know them freely. And so God has designed a protocol plan, a plan that we must live under, a plan that assures that as a Christian we glorify Him to the maximum. And it is beginning with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is critical, because if you ask someone about the Holy Spirit, a lot of people will roll their eyes to heaven. They will begin to look for a tambourine and something to beat upon, and they'll get this glossy look on their face and no telling what they might do. Some people do indeed teach that the filling of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the Christian life, but that it's a later-induced second miracle or second blessing that comes to you. However, that is not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is the Holy Spirit fills you the moment you're saved. He indwells you the moment you're saved. He seals you the moment you're saved. He gives you your spiritual gift the moment you're saved. And he places you into union with Christ the very moment that you're saved. But the very moment you sin your first sin, you don't lose the indwelling. You don't lose the sealing. You don't lose your spiritual gift. You don't lose being placed in union with Christ. But yes, you lose the filling. You quench the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit. And you cannot live the Christian life without His power. Any kind of power apart from that of the Holy Spirit is just human good. All of this is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at the judgment seat of Christ. It's critical that we understand that. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, all of our energy and all of our efforts for God are manifested. Listen as I read what Paul wrote. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation for a house is a concrete foundation. And so the concreters come in, lay the foundation, the house is built on the foundation. That's the analogy here. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, everyone will know it. Not your sin. Keep that in mind. Every man's work, it didn't say sin, it says ergon. Ergon, your production. Every man's work will be made manifest. The day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's production, every man's work, of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he has built upon, he will receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But, and listen carefully, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Now what this is talking about is the energy of the flesh versus the power of the Holy Spirit. Anything done for God in the energy of the flesh is wood, hay, and stubble. Anything done for God in the power of the Holy Spirit is gold, silver, and precious stones. That's rewardable. The other things are not. Why is that? Because God demands protocol. That simply indicates that a right thing must be done in a right way. A right thing done in a wrong way is wrong. I will give you an illustration. Is it wrong to pray? The answer is no. Is there a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray? The answer is yes. So if you violate protocol, in other words, if you pray, but you pray in the wrong way, prayer will not be answered. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I'm going to pray with unconfessed sin in my life, the prayer is not going to go any higher than the ceiling. So on Sunday morning, the pastor stands up at the pulpit and he asks Deacon A to come have the opening prayer. But Deacon A has a problem with Deacon B, can't stand him. Deacon B shafted him in a business deal one time, and he hates his guts. He won't speak to him, he won't look at him, and any time he gets a chance, he says rotten things about him. So Deacon A gets up and prays a marvelous, wonderful, eloquent-sounding prayer, but it goes no higher than the ceiling because he's out of fellowship with God. He has quenched the Holy Spirit. He has grieved the Holy Spirit. And the prayer that he's offering is being offered in the energy of the flesh. If Deacon A gives money to the offering plate, it's just wood, hay, and stubble. The prayer is just wood, hay, and stubble. If he decides to go visiting on visitation night, wood, hay, and stubble. See, anything you do as a Christian that is not under the power of God the Holy Spirit is energy of the flesh or wood, hay, and stubble. And it all comes up at the judgment seat of Christ. Not your sins. Your sins were paid for. Your sins are never be issued, put upon you. Christ paid for those on the cross. They will not be an issue for you in the future. They were an issue on the cross. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He paid for our sin. But what you will be evaluated upon is, did you fulfill the plan of God for your life? Did you live it under the energy of the flesh, or did you live it under the filling of the Holy Spirit? Because without the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's just wood, hay, and stubble. Now, I'm not going to attempt to unravel all the confusion that surrounds that phrase, the filling of the Holy Spirit. But my emphasis has been to show you what I believe the Bible teaches regarding this. And I hope you will allow God the Holy Spirit to control your life every day. Jesus, our Lord, taught this when he left the earth, that he was going to send his Spirit. I read you that. And it is this Holy Spirit that Jesus talks about that's given to us the moment of our salvation. I read you that, Ephesians 1:13. And you may want to understand another passage in 1 Corinthians 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which belongs to God. So the Holy Spirit is God's signature guarantee. It is his seal that you belong to him. In Ephesians 5:18, we are told directly, be filled with the Spirit. How do I become a Spirit-filled Christian? Anytime I use problem-solving device number one, anytime I rebound my known sin to God, I am cleansed of sin and I am filled with the Spirit. Anytime I knowingly sin or unknowingly, it doesn't make any difference, sin is sin. Anytime I sin, I quench the Holy Spirit, and I grieve the Holy Spirit, and even though I'm a Christian, I move back under the energy of the flesh. You see, some people may say, well, how can I confess a sin that I don't even know is sin? How's that possible? Listen to the verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. That's even the ones that you don't know are sin. No one can keep up with every sin, but certain sins that God the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, when you know you've done them, you go to God the Father immediately, and you admit that sin. Don't hide it. Don't cover it up like David did in Psalm 32, verses 4 and 5. He talks about it. He used the rebound technique as well. But he was not under the filling of the Holy Spirit like you and I are. See, believers in the Old Testament were endued with the Spirit. We are under the filling of the Holy Spirit. They could lose the Holy Spirit, but we don't. We have that guarantee according to Ephesians 1:12 and 13. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit is essential. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You can either allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, or you can take control yourself, and you can follow the desires of your sinful nature. There's no in-between. And so at any moment of this day, you will either be filled with the Holy Spirit and spiritual, or you will be under control of your flesh and carnal. They are absolute. There is no in-between. You know, some of the greatest preachers in the world, for example, some of the greatest evangelists, those men that you respect, if they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're spiritual. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual. They are not any more spiritual than you. They may be more mature than you. They may have more content of the Word of God in their soul than you, but they are not more spiritual than you. Anyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit is spiritual, and any Christian who's not filled with the Holy Spirit is carnal. He's in the flesh. See, there's a war that goes on. And Paul said it himself in Romans 7:15. He said, I don't understand myself at all because I want to do what's right and I inevitably do what's wrong. He said, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me is sin. Read it for yourself, Romans 7:15, 16, 17. See the battle that Paul wrote about when he said, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. They're contrary to the other. Read about it in Galatians. Paul lays it out for you. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit if you ever want to grow in grace. You cannot become a mature believer without the filling of the Holy Spirit. And combine that with the content of the Word of God in your soul. When you have the content of the Word of God in your soul, and when you have the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you have the ability to apply the information. You have the ability to use the doctrine that you've learned application-wise and put it to use in your life. You cannot put the